Hello, folks, and welcome to our class. The class is Troubled Over Many Things, book by Connie Adams. Everybody should have their book with them, hopefully. And what we're going to do is we're going to continue with a lesson that we were working on last time we were physically together, and that was Troubled Over Many Things, and the issue was addictions. So we're going to continue with that conversation tonight in our Wednesday night Bible class. On Sunday morning, what we'll be doing is we'll do Troubled Over Growing Old, which is the last class, and it is also a time when we're going to do a little summary work, too, for the overall class. So I hope you'll be able to join us for Bible class on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. It will be pre-recorded, and it will also be on the westendchurch.com website under sermons, and those lessons will be live. Jason Hatton will have those posted for us on there for you to be able to view. So that'll be Sunday morning, and you can check that out at 9 o'clock. And again, right now we're going to summarize and work through the rest of the addiction class. I'm going to pull up a little bit of a screen share here that I have with you or for you to be able to show you kind of where we were and what we were working on with regard to the class. And hopefully this will help us to kind of get back to where we were. We were talking about potential addictions that people can have problems with in their lives. We were talking about substance and behavioral problems associated with those substances that people use. And, you know, one of the things that we think about from just a standpoint of addictions is we don't think about things like caffeine. And we don't think about things like food being things that we are addicted to or technology. You know, people have their own reasons for why they do what they do in their own individual lives, even with things like this. But technology and gaming, it's my time and I can use it however I want to. A lot of times people will think that way. They think that way about food as well. It's my body. I can do what I want to do with it. Or we think about caffeine and we really don't think it's a big deal. We talked about some of the other problems that people have in their lives, and these are some of the less recognized potential addictions that people really don't think about. One of those is sexual addictions, and it starts out as a curiosity or a lifestyle, and then it turns into a lifestyle, and then it many times can become an obsession and a real problem for people and for their loved ones associated with these problems in their lives. Pornography many times is linked also with sexual addictions and can also be the root cause of sexual addictions. And for the same reasons, people start out just curiosity or, you know, somebody else is doing it and they just check it out on their smartphone. And before you know, it's become a habitual part of their lifestyle and something that they are obsessed with and it begins to control them. So, you know, an addiction is anything that you begin to be controlled by, anything that you begin to be controlled by. We talked about that earlier. And so any of these things can be things that control you in your life every day. Gambling is another one of those things. Again, it may just start out as a curiosity. It may just start out as something that you do real, innocently, but it becomes an obsession. It becomes something that you desire to do, and it becomes a lifestyle. Online gambling is the same way, and it can be a big problem and has become a big problem for a lot of people where folks have basically given up their livelihoods or lost everything they've had because of that. Shopping can be the same way. Compulsive shopping just to buy something, just for the satisfaction of getting it. And really, you know, right now we're going through a time where, you know, if we have a lot of downtime, maybe we're not using our time exactly like we need to because maybe somebody has been laid off from work or they're having to work from home or they're having different things going on than they normally do and they may shop more. Well, you got to be careful of that. You got to make sure that you have what you need and you need what you have, but don't overdo it. Another one is mobile devices, and again, that's something that can be a problem. Again, right now, we're in a time where we're in very much need of the technology that we have out there. We talked about technology earlier just on this slide right here, but, you know, we've got to be tuned into what we need and how we're going to be able to take care of ourselves and our families. But we can't let that be an obsession or a problem for us to the point that we overdo it with mobile devices. And then sugar. You know, we talked about sugar a little bit in class as well. And Michelle Darnell had some comments for us, and we were talking about sugar and how, you know, it releases certain chemicals in our brain and the pleasure centers that we receive from what sugar can do for us. But it can also be something that we become very addictive to, becomes a regular part of our lives. It ties back into the food component of where we can have problems and addictions and other things as well. So we've got to be careful of the things that we let potentially be addictions for us in our lives every day. So what do we do with that? We live in a culture which thinks everything can be solved by taking a pill instead of fixing the problem. A lot of times I used to always tell people there's problems and there's symptoms of problems. And many times we deal with the symptoms and we really don't deal with the problems at hand. So, you know, we've got to understand that everything isn't solved by a pill. We've got to work toward having self-control. We've got to work toward having a determination of what is important to us and what's not important to us. If you look at Philippians 4:13, what does it say? What it says is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And, you know, you might say, well, I can't quit eating sugar, or I can't quit doing this, or I can't quit doing that. I'll also share a little saying with you that my dad used to always tell us when we were growing up, can't never did do nothing. Can't never did do nothing. That's probably not good English, but it's a point. And if we believe we can't do something, we've set a goal, and it's a really good chance that we're going to accomplish that goal. We're not going to be able to do anything, because we believe that we can't do it. So we've got to put faith in God. We've got to put faith in the life that Christ lived and the example that he was to us. And where it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's telling me that I can do anything through him. And it's through living the kind of life that he would have me live, the kind of example that he was to me, the person that he wants me to be. If we think about what's going on in the world around us, not just today, but always, generally when things are the way that are normal for us, if you will, there's lots of pressures in this world to be part of what somebody else is doing or follow what somebody else is doing and not necessarily do what we think we should be doing. So Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So it's about peer pressure. It's about the people that you choose to spend time with. It's about the priorities that you have for yourself, but also the priorities that folks that you hang out with have as well. So many times things that people have problems with in their lives, addictions, things that they become obsessed with are as a result of also peer pressure and people that they've been associated with or how they spend their time. So we've got to be very careful about how we spend our time and who we spend our time with. And so many times, I think this is always true in life, we're looking for easy and quick solutions. You know, it's like I said earlier in 2 Corinthians 12:10, let's look at that. Turn your Bibles there if you will, please. 2 Corinthians 12:10. A lot of times all we're looking for is a pill to fix something. If I'm depressed, if I'm unhappy, give me a pill. If I have this problem or that problem, give me a pill. And while modern medicine is wonderful and the things that it can do for us and some of the common things that we have problems with, we also have to understand that God wants us to take control of our lives by letting him help us have control, giving control to him, but not giving control away to something that's going to create a problem for us in our lives. So we've got to be always looking for the big picture and the long-term solutions instead of looking for quick and easy solutions. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Think about that for just a minute. When I am weak, I am strong. And what it also reminds me of, how many times do we really take pleasure in infirmities or in reproaches or in needs or persecutions or distress? It says, for Christ's sake. If we think about the suffering that Christ went through and we think about the suffering that we endure, right now we're going through something that we've never been through before. It's unprecedented in any of our lifetimes to experience what we're going through right now with the coronavirus. So, yes, are we experiencing some of the displeasure of what life can offer? Absolutely. Is it changing our lifestyles right now for a period of time? Absolutely. We're having a Bible class online where you're watching a video. We're not sitting in our building together. It is an inconvenience for us, but we have to think about who we are, what we are, what matters. And for whatever problem it is that we have that we're trying to overcome, we will and can overcome that problem through Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. But understand that we do it through the Lord and not through a pill or not through some other aspect of a relationship or whatever it might be to try and make our lives what it should be. James 1:3. What is James 1:3? We've talked a lot about James, the book of James, and basically in that first chapter where he talks about the trials and tribulations that we will face in life. James 1:3 says, well, you can go back up there. It says, my brethren, count it all joy in verse 2 when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And anytime anyone is coming up against one of these addictions that they potentially have in their life, they are coming against trials and tribulations. But we can get through them with the help of the Lord. A permissive society and absent parents contributes to the problems of addiction. And again, parents, you've got a job for your children. You have a job to be in communication with them. Does that mean they're always going to be and do exactly what they should? Not necessarily. But you've got a responsibility, and fathers, you've got a lead responsibility for your families and for your children. It says in Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So you've got to be the example, fathers, for your family, for your children. You have got to help them understand the importance of God's word and how they apply it to their lives every day. They are looking to you for that guidance and for that leadership to make their lives what they should be. Turn to Titus, the second chapter, and verses 4-5. It says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So also the responsibilities for ladies to understand how we're going to help young ladies understand what their responsibilities are to families, how they're to take care of their families, their husbands, their children, and be what God would have us to be. And then finally, trends in society lead to, if it feels good, do it, and that kind of mentality in life. And again, there's been a real generational thing of people believing that and feeling that way. And right now, we understand as Christians that we need to look to God for wisdom, guidance, and strength always, every day in our lives. That needs to be a part of our routine, in our meditation, in our prayers, in our Bible reading, in our thinking about our brothers and sisters and what we can do to help them. Again, we need to be doing that today, but we always need to be doing that as we think about this thing of not this if it feels good, do it mentality, but following God, doing his will. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We delight in the law of the Lord, and we're trying to live by that to the very best of our ability every day. That's what God wants from us. That's what God expects from us. And if we will live that way, there's not anything that we'll come up against that we won't be able to handle. And it says we meditate on his law day and night. And that's what we need to do. Addictions are overcome when the addict's mind is captured by the will of the Lord. In John 8:32, what does it say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the addict has got to say, that's not going to be a part of my life anymore. I'm going to be led by God's word. Behavior by the addict has to be changed. They have to change their habits and their thoughts, and they have to submit their will to God. It's like taking a bucket that's full of sand and pouring that sand out and putting new sand in. We've got to change the content of what's in our mind, what's in our heart, for us to be able to be what God would have us to be. And anybody that has had a problem with any kind of addiction in the past and has overcome that addiction, they understand what it means to put something away and put something else in your heart and your mind. Trends in society lead to it feels good, do it mentality. We talked about that a minute ago. And the pressures in the world are very intense. If you look at what's going on, and again, it's a little bit different time right now, but everybody's trying to get everybody else to conform to what they're trying to do or what they want to do, so they feel okay about what's going on in their lives. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. It couldn't be any clearer than that. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So we've got to decide who we're going to keep company with and what's important to us. And I think the other thing that we've got to think about is God's point of view. What does God think? How does God feel about what we're doing in our lives and how we live? In God's perspective, he's thinking about how we're making choices and how we're making decisions. And do we want to give control away? I want to give control of my life to God. And really, we did that when we said we were going to follow him. When we said we were going to put the old man behind us and we were going to be that new man. In Romans 8:28, it says, all things work to good for those that love the Lord and are called according to my purpose. No, not called according to my purpose, called according to his purpose. And that's the way I've got to try and live my life every single day. You look at Colossians, grab your Bibles and look at Colossians with me, if you will. Colossians, the third chapter in verses 1-4. If then you were raised with Christ, changed, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. And if there was ever a time to think about that, we should think about it every day as Christians, and we should be encouraging other people to think about it as well. But today, do you think things are thinking about earthly things, or are they thinking more about spiritual things based on what's going on? Set your mind in verse 2 on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you shall also appear with him in glory. We are supposed to be the revelation of Christ in our lives every day. And that's what people should see in us. That's who people should see in us. It's Christ. If we were the only ones, and I've asked several people this recently, if we were the only ones left on the face of the earth that was a Christian, how would we be representing Jesus? How would we be representing Jesus in the things that we do and say? Christ said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And we can't do anything without Christ being a part of our lives and being who we are. I want you also to look at 2 Peter, the first chapter. That's where he talks about the promises that have been made to us. And I believe in those promises because it's God's word. It says it right here. And we are told what those promises are. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verses 1-4. 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verses 1-4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We got that through them. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And the depravity is what it talks about when it also talks about corruption. And people that have addiction problems are depraved. They're living depraved lives. They're living corrupt lives. They're not living lives that reflect an appreciation or a willingness to recognize what God has done for us, what Christ did for us. So this is one of those things that I've continued to go through all through the class, is are we living Bible-based intentional lives? Bible-based intentional lives. Galatians 2:20, we've read it a bunch of times, but I want to read it again. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in Christ, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's who I'm supposed to be every day. That's who I am supposed to be. That's who you're supposed to be if you're a Christian as well. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The example that Christ was while he was here on this earth gave us the example that we needed to know how we would live and please him. And I used this slide earlier too, and basically showed all the different aspects of what happens in our lives and how we make decisions that, you know, ultimately will decide whether we're going to be with the Lord in heaven or we are not. And it's all based on how we live. If you're living a life where you have an addictive personality and you have let things control you, then your life is not going to be what God wants it to be, and you're going to separate yourself from God. So we got to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to be that person. So what are we going to do to make sure that we're right? It's the world versus the spirit, and we've got to be obedient. We've got to believe. We've got to make sure that we use his wisdom to help guide and shape our lives instead of pride and being a fool, which we read about earlier tonight. And then also eternity. God's word comprehensively outlines his expectations and ultimately determines whether or not we're going to be in heaven with him. So with all that being said, we've got to decide what is important to us and what we value and how we're going to live our lives. So, you know, hopefully that's something for us to think about tonight. If you know somebody that's having problem with addictions in their lives, talk to them about it. If you know one of those things that we talked about, whatever it might be as a problem, love them enough to talk to them about that problem. If there's something that you have a problem with, it's an addiction that you're dealing with, pray to God that he will help you with that addiction. So you'll be able to start trying to overcome that addiction and make your life more of what it would need to be pleasing in the sight of God. I appreciate everybody tuning into the class tonight. I hope it's been beneficial. I hope it's given you something to think about, some scriptures for you to more closely consider, some scriptures for you to think about with regard to your individual life and how you might be better. And I think what I'd like to do is end class tonight with a prayer. If you will, please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we're so very thankful for all the many blessings that you give us in life. We're thankful for the sunshine that we experience in our lives every day. We're thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ that we have to have relationships with at West End Church of Christ and all over the world. We pray that we will be encouraging to one another during this difficult time that we're experiencing as a world, really. But also help us to understand that this is temporary, and as this life is temporary as well, and we're looking forward to eternity. And we want to do everything we can to live our lives in a way that you'll be pleased, so that when this life is over, we'll be with you for eternity in heaven. As we think about the problems that people experience with addictions, help us to look at ourselves first and say, is there anything that I need to change? But then also help us to look at other friends or family members that we have that might have problems with addictions. And if there's anything that we can do to be of help to them, help us to reach out to them. There's probably a never better time, than right now. And after we get through this, help us to be stronger in our conviction, in our truth, that we live every day and trying to follow your will and your word, and help us to be that light for others in this world so that they can find their way to you if they currently don't have a relationship with you. Pray all this through your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for joining me for the class, and I hope it has been beneficial to you, and hope you will be with us again Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And also don't forget about the online live worship service at 10 on Sunday morning.